It's time to meet the street with me, David Plimpton.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome once again to yet another installment of Meet the Street, the friendly neighbourhood podcast that gives you an insight in and around my local neighbourhood. I'm your host, David Plimpton, and hang on. Oh, no, don't come in. No, I'm doing hobbies. I'll change the bandage after cat file. No, okay. Not now. That was my wife, Jill. Told her not to interrupt when I'm doing hobbies. Anyway, where was I? Right. As per usual, I like to start the show with a brief outline of what I've been up to this week in the part of the programme I call What I've Been Up To This Week. If you tuned into last week's episode, you'll know fully well that I was engaged in a war of words with one of my neighbours, Anne Dursley, in an issue regarding her cat and an accusation of theft, which I clearly am not guilty of. I've stated my case in the previous episode, so I won't go into too much detail, but the malicious phone calls continued from her for the rest of the week, and to cut a long story short, I snapped and threw down the gauntlet. That's right, the ultimate reckoning, trial by stone, which, as regular listeners you should know by now, is basically trying to establish who can fit the most stones into their mouth in order to prove their worth. Here's what happened when I went head-to-head with Anne on the Brackley playing fields on Sunday evening.
Trial by stone field report.
Trial by stone update. I've been here for several hours and I'm incredibly hungry. Wet. It's gone 10 o'clock at night now, and Anne has not turned up, and there's still no... Hang on. Yep, I can see her. Anne is coming across the field. No, scrap that. That's not Anne. That's someone going through a bin. Right. Anne Dursley, if you can hear this, you're a loser. Goodbye.
Trial by stone field report.
Well, there you have it. Clear proof that Anne Dursley is a coward, and I am fully justified in proclaiming my innocence. Thanks to my technical know-how, I was able to bring you that report fairly easily, although I must admit that just a few short months ago, I wouldn't have had a clue where to start. And that's all thanks to one man in particular, David Robards, whom I'll be interviewing today because he's the mastermind behind a revolutionary home computing course that's taking my street by storm. Thanks to him, I didn't have to spend countless hours attending night classes or trying to keep up with confusing online tutorials, because David bought the course directly to me. Over a period of 26 weeks, David opened my eyes to a world of wonder. And today, we journey into the mind of a man whose love of all things cyber has seen him grow from a game-obsessed 11-year-old to successful computer retailer, on into the world of high-stakes charity events, and of course, into his latest venture, the David Robards 26-week home computer course. Although, I must warn you, I did have a few technical problems with this recording, but thanks again to David. They should go completely unnoticed when you listen. So anyway, without further ado, sit back, relax, pour yourself a cup of tea, and once again, let's meet the street. David, it's wonderful to have you on the podcast, and I must say I'm very excited about today's interview. Obviously, I would say a friend of yours now after the experience I've been through on your 26-week computer course.
I'd say yes, 26 weeks could make you a friend of mine, yes.
I think we've shared some intimate moments together, both on and off the computer.
Yes, you have touched my mouse, as they say.
Indeed, I have. I could only describe you as a computer-based entrepreneur. Could you give a brief outline of yourself for the listeners, who you are and what you do?
Well, I think entrepreneur is a good start, but it goes much further than that. I teach people who are not so savvy about the world of tech, as we like to call it, what the buttons do on a computer. How does it come on? How does it come off? What do I do with a plug? And it 26-week journey along the highways and byways of the internet. Oh, yes. You just give me all the information that I need, and I will feed you the universe through the computer.
All I had to do was give you £7,000 and 5 or 6 hot meals a week. You live in-house. You'd usually be out between Tuesday to Thursday. I don't know where you went, but you would always come back and continue with the lessons.
No matter what state I was in.
Exactly. Now, is there a way for people to contact you if they too are interested in taking part in the David Robards home computer course?
Send a check to my address, which I'm not going to say that online. Oh, no, I'm not going to say that over the airwaves. Let's do it via your house. If you could give out your address, people can send the checks to there through my name, and then I will get them onto the internet and tell them how to join the course proper.
That's no problem at all. I think people can direct message me through Twitter. How much should they pay for the initial consultation, David?
The initial consultation is a mere £50. That will get you my attention very quickly, and we will advance within days. It's just, I have a lot of time wasters. Unfortunately, the internet is full of time wasters, people who will bandy about accusations or insults and things like that. So this is a way of getting rid of the spam. Now, that's a technical term, which I think you've learned, haven't you?
I am familiar with the term spam. It means to receive junk mail or information that's not necessary to your cause.
Exactly. And I am dealing with it in this manner, by getting things sent through the post.
I think that's fantastic, David. You've always been one step ahead of the game when it comes to this technology. What was the defining moment that made you realise computers were your destiny?
My joy, my love of all computers began when I was just a boy. A very dear friend of mine, Lee Rubery, he had been gifted a brand new top-of-the-range Commodore 64. Well, we all sat around avidly watching this machine as it loaded a computer game. I'm not sure if you remember it. It was called Eggy Jumpy. The principle of the game is that you're an egg and you jump over other eggs. Unfortunately, there was a little glitch and you couldn't tell which egg you were, and then you had to load it again. But still, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful computer, a wonderful game, and I was enamoured. There I was, dreaming of the day I would own a Commodore 64, and this is where my luck came into place. On the way home, full of cake and sausage roll, I found one. I did not steal any equipment, anything like that. I found one under a bush.
Well, that's amazing that such an expensive piece of technology was simply found under a bush. And I imagine now being the owner of a Commodore 64 must have really sealed that bond you had with your school friend. And the idea of two young boys with identical computers must have been amazing. You must have spent many, many happy hours together attempting to complete Eggy Jumpy on your computers.
You'd think that, wouldn't you? You'd think that. But strangely, things didn't quite work out that way. In a completely unrelated series of events, Lee's own Commodore 64 disappeared. Now, that's terrible news. But what was more terrible was the way I heard it. You see, there I was, loading up my computer games, when I heard a very loud, aggressive rapping on the door. My parents answered it. And who was there but Lee Rubery's parents accusing me of stealing Lee's Commodore 64? Now, I had innocently found a Commodore 64 in a hedge, as you do, but they accused me. Now, obviously, as a small child, their accusation that I could steal a boy's brand new Commodore 64. I mean, that's absolutely disgusting. Later, of course, I was to discover that they were probably alcoholics and probably sold it for white lightning or cheap sherry. But they said I could never speak to Lee again, largely because it was his parents hiding their own dirty, drunken crime.
Finding that computer, in my eyes, gave you the opportunity to lead the life you now live today. And I believe you really went for it from there, because in 1986, you took gaming out of the bedroom and you went national. You entered Britain's first ever computer games tournament, Joystick Jam 86.
Of course, the National Computer Championship, Joystick Jam 86. I was 11 years old. I was so excited. I was ready to go head to head with people across the globe to play the smash hit game, Flight Simulator 2. And I was taken aback by not only the game, the standard of joystick, but also the chair I sat on. It was the first time I'd sat on an office chair which had the ability to move back and forth. So you felt like a true, true pilot. And I got through the first heat, and as far as I'm concerned, that makes me a winner.
You got through the first heats, but something happened before they reached the final on the second day of the event.
Unfortunately, the organisers had somehow misplaced over £6,000 worth of Commodore 64 computer hardware. The event was cancelled.
You clearly had nothing to do with the disappearance of any of the products there.
Now, there were accusations. I'm sure that everyone was accused of, at some point, of possibly being the perpetrator of such a theft. But I did not steal any money or anything like that. Just look on the internet. Clearly, I am a trustworthy member of the community. But no, it wasn't to be, but still.
To be accused of stealing from Joystick Jam, it could have been a real setback that would have caused you to throw in the towel. But if anything, I think this made you a lot stronger. And once again, a few months later, you made the papers with what I would really define as the start of your entrepreneurial streak. You did something that was quite astounding, especially as you were only 11 years old at the time. You opened a computer shop.
Yes. I was determined, despite that disappointment of the accusations about the theft and even the theft of the Commodore 64 when I was a child. I put those behind me. I thought, no, all great businessmen have these trials. So I thought, no, I shall set up my own business. I'm enamored by computers. Do what you love, and you'll never work a day in your life.
Any businessman wishing to open a shop of any form would need some collateral, would need some finances. How did you secure the money to open that shop, David?
I will tell you this. I did secure a loan from a very, very well-off benefactor who to this day wishes to remain anonymous. I secured a loan of £6,000, which allowed me to buy my entire stock of Commodore 64 computer hardware.
You are obviously a trustworthy member of the community.
Clearly, I am an educator in the computer world, and educators are to be trusted. Why would I steal computers from someone else and steal their joy of computers? I love computers. I wish to share that joy.
Exactly. If a man loves a woman, he doesn't steal another man's wife. He finds a woman to love.
Exactly.
The business did exceptionally well, and it allowed you to live a rather lavish lifestyle, especially for an 11-year-old. Could you tell the listeners about some of the luxury items that that business allowed you to splash out on with the profits from the money from the unknown benefactor?
Clearly, I mean, £6,000 worth of equipment and selling that at profit, it can produce an overwhelming amount of money for a child who, until that day, had been used to just eating bags of penny sweets and the like. So I bought myself a huge, huge birthday cake, nearly the size of me, in the shape of a robot, and a Porsche 911.
Now, this really is living the high life, especially for an 11-year-old boy. Sadly, disaster was to strike, really, when you least expected it, as turnover at the shop started to slow down and sales started to drop. Then an accidental fire completely gutted the shop.
Yes, yes. The thing is, how would do deal with something like that. I mean, I was too young to have a son, but I imagine it was something like that, a feeling of losing a part of you, something that had been a part of you for at least 18 months, which is a very long time. It may not seem a long time to a grown-up, but to a child, 18 months is a very large portion of your life. So I was heartbroken, of course, devastated. My business destroyed, everything burnt down. I had nothing. All the computers, the car, the cake, etc., all burnt to a crisp.
There were allegations that this, and I'm only repeating what I read in the paper, there were allegations this could have been an insurance fraud. You did receive quite a considerable payout from the insurance company. But once again, I think here is the opportunity for you to clear that up.
Well, it wasn't an insurance job. I'll just say that, put a line under that. It wasn't an insurance job. I would never do that. But I suspect what it was one of those new games, such as R-Type. They've got so much firepower in them. That one of them, I suspect, was a bit faulty and accidentally started the fire in one of the cassette tapes. And the thing is, with cassette tapes, when hot, the cassette reel can just pour out there and set fire to the entire place quite easily. It's almost as flammable as petrol.
Which is something I didn't realise. Cassette tapes are flammable. And if people do own them at the moment, if they have them at home, get rid of them now, because they could bring an end to anyone's life at any moment. I think that's something we have to...
They could. They are an unknown hazard. Check your attics. Check your attics.
Everybody, please be aware of the danger of flammable cassette tapes in your home. Not my words, but the words of a man who suffered the loss of a business through a terrible fire because of a faulty cassette tape. So that's something we should all keep in mind. In 1990, you decided to turn your back on the dog-eat-dog world of high street retail in favour of charity. With one foot still very firmly rooted in the world of computer games, you attempted to raise money, not for yourself, but this time for sick children, with an event called Outrun Fest 90.
Absolutely. It's like you said, I'd been a successful businessman, and I thought, well, why not use those skills for other people? So Outrun Fest 1990. It was supposed to be the first of many Outrun Fests, based around the popular computer game Outrun, which involved a car in which you race other cars. One of my favourite things about Outrun was the fact that on the loading screen it had a rather attractive lady in a red dress, blonde. But anyway, I had decided I'm going to raise some money for sick children, and I'm going to get the best top-notch celebrities I can. And I managed it. I got Andrew Ridgely from Wham, who I always thought was the more talented Wham, then Gordon Kaye. Gordon Kaye of Allo Allo. René himself.
Now, this really is Hollywood material. You've secured these two wonderful stars. It all seemed like everything was heading in the right direction.
Well, this is it. We'd done something special as well. We'd manipulated the original Outrun game so they could do a virtual drive all the way from Land's End to John O'Groats, stopping only to reload the cassette. And we'd raised over £16,000 for sick children. And we were ready to go for this 24-hour gaming marathon. Oh, ready to begin now. Now, here's the thing. Tragedy. Gordon Kaye had this terrible, terrible accident.
This was in the terrible storm that the UK is now so famous for. And these storms swept the country, causing destruction and death.
Yes, yes. Storm Willis, named after Wincy Willis.
Of course.
Gordon was struck on the head by a plank of wood from an advertising board.
His terrible accident, it destroyed the whole idea of Outrun Fest. In a brief second, everything was wiped out.
Yes, I mean, we could have just stuck it out for Andrew Ridgely, but we thought, no, it's too much to ask of any one person. But Gordon, yes, terribly, terribly injured, and he was in hospital with a huge splinter in his head from this plank. I know it was four sick children, but unfortunately we had to pull the event.
The papers at the time accused you of keeping the money for yourself, but you've always claimed that that's not true. And I think now is the opportunity for you to clear those murky facts up.
Once again, this is an accusation without any basis at all. I gave the money directly to Gordon in cash because I knew that he needed it quickly. Unfortunately, the amnesia that developed later, he forgot all about it because he'd been struck in the head by an advert for Playtex, and all he could think of was bosoms, which is very much in keeping with his character. But I did not take the money. Gordon did take it, and it did save his life. He doesn't remember seeing it because he gave it straight to the doctors.
And that, you see, is the sign of a true gentleman, someone who will go out of his way to selflessly help those in need, as you did with me, because I gave you over £7,000 to pay for your unique home computing course. And you really gave me an opportunity to reach out into a world I had very little knowledge of. And I'd like to thank you for that, David, here now.
Most welcome, most welcome. And in 26 weeks, it people think, oh, isn't that a long time? It flies by. It flies by. Absolutely. You just have to...
Like the idea of buying some new things online, looking at pictures of rare and exotic species via the web, or just want to make friends in a chat room. If you're excited by the world of computers but just not sure if you're capable of using one, you're not alone. Like hundreds of people throughout the UK, you may just be too scared to use a computer. Examples.
I've heard computers can steal your money.
I just don't like all those buttons.
My friend died using a computer.
Fear of computers can be crippling. So let the David Robards Home Computer Course allay those fears. Our unique 26-week course allows you to break down the barriers that are stopping you from moving forwards. Whether it's logging on, uploading, or even just using buttons. David himself will come to your home for 26 weeks, get to know you and your online needs, and provide one-on-one computer skills that can halt the cycle of fear. Let David discuss the things you like, help you confront modern issues, and even learn how to love computing.
Now I can have an argument on Twitter. I learned how to do MySpace.
Since the David Robards course, I've taken pictures of all my dinners and uploaded them to Insta.
We made friends on the Isle of Wight.
The David Robards 26-week computer course. Don't let computers crush you. David Robards is a syndicated trademark of the Zix Enterprise and holds no responsibility for loss of eyesight, minor burns, theft, or short-term memory loss.
I'd like to say thank you very much for taking part in today's interview. I only wish I had a terrible accident like Gordon Kay. My mind was wiped and I didn't know how to use a computer, just so that I could invite you back into my house for 26 weeks so that you could teach me all about computers again. But sadly, I can't. But for those people listening, please be aware that David is out there and ready to teach today. So David Robards, thank you very much for everything and good night.
Good night. I'll see you all online.
Which button stops the...
The stop.
Which button stops?
If you move your mouse in a circular motion.
Yeah.
Then yep. Right-click on the large cog.
Got it. If you've enjoyed this episode of Meet the Street, remember to like and subscribe on iTunes or your favourite podcast provider. Follow me on Twitter at PlimptonDavid and join my Facebook page at Meet the Street One. And if you're really feeling generous, you can donate a small fee via Ko-fi.com patreon.com/meetthestreet. Every penny helps. Until next time, goodbye.
Jill, I've done it. You can use the spare room for the washing now.